Nigga, who is you, Destiny Child? Nigga, ain't nobody said your motherfucking name.
Hey. X marks the spot.
X marks the spot, got competition in the headlock. Randy Savage with the bubble with a Hogan leg drop. From Bangkok to New York, Alabama to Shatown. Independent and pro, we talking it on the chat now. So sat down and hear Stacks lay the smackdown. Move your smart ass tricks and he don't never back down. What all elite toppers mixed with honor and backs our stream. Got fans in Japan and gorillas on my team. So please follow me for the live broadcast. X marks is about the wrestling podcast. X marks is about the wrestling podcast. X marks is about the wrestling podcast. Here comes the
What up, you smart bitches, to another episode of X Marks the Spot. I'm your host, Stacks the Homie, and hey, this one right here is for The Undertaker. Now, a lot of y'all, you know, like I say all the time, if you've been living under a fucking rock, y'all been watching the Last Ride documentary, and pretty much I believe that's it for The Undertaker. Even WWE done sent out a thank you taker tweet and everything. Like, I think he's finally retired. That's the word that's going around in this end of a incredible era. I know a lot of people were sad. I was sad myself. I ain't cried like a little biatch or nothing. I was close, you know, but I ain't do none of that. Shout out to Mario. But yeah, so I'm going to dedicate this show to The Undertaker. I'm going to talk about some of my favorite memories of The Undertaker, whether it's been like seeing him in person or just like just shit off TV. Now, you know, my shit might be different, you know, from other people's, because I'm sure people just, you know, you can't condense or compress The Undertaker's career into a small 30-minute something podcast. Like, honestly, you could talk about The Undertaker, you probably take one moment and spend hours on that, and you can make a whole fucking podcast series about The Undertaker's career. So I can't even talk. Like, what the fuck going on? I've been gone for 2 weeks and forgot how to talk. So that might be something that The Undertaker might be into. Like, why not? He already done broke character on y'all ass. So why not? Fuck it. Do it anyway. So I'm going to talk about that now. Don't think I'm not aware of all the crazy shit that's been going on in the wrestling community lately. Like, this shit done fell completely the fuck apart. Yes, I'm very aware of that. And I'm choosing not to discuss it because, for one, every fucking wrestling podcast this side of the Mississippi is going to be talking about that shit. So I'm sure y'all don't want to hear my ass speak about it. Like, you know, I'm not saying the shit is wrong, what's going on, but I'm just one less person talking about it. Y'all can hear that shit from everybody, and that's just the go-to. So I'm returning to my roots with this shit, man. I'm trying to have fun again in the midst of it all. So I'm just going to go ahead and kick the shit off. So The Undertaker, I'm going to kick it off with a first-time experience of him. Now, the first time I seen The Undertaker wrestle in person was at a house show in Chicago at the Rosemont Horizon, which is now called Allstate Arena. Real ones know. And he was in the main event against Yokozuna. And the thing I loved about that show was, like, for one, I was 7. And my dad took me and a bunch of my friends. I think Kenneth Colley was there. Brian. A bunch of people went to the show. And like I said, when I was a kid, and I still do this to this day, if I go to a show, like, I'm peeking my head through that curtain to see what the fuck going on, even just to look at the ring, like, fuck it. And that particular night, you know, we got there a little late. I stuck my head through the window, through the curtain, and I see the Steiner brothers, and I see Scott hitting the Frankenstein. I was like, oh, shit. And also in the car was Shawn Michaels and Macho Man Randy Savage, and it's just some shit. So what stood out to me the most about the Undertaker versus Yokozuna, for one, that's my first time seeing Undertaker, and this is back when he was like in his gray gimmick, and all that shit. And of course, I don't remember the match, you know, move by move. But what I do remember is that damn chokeslam. And the reason why I remember this particular chokeslam, because I don't know if anybody ever been to these shows back in the fucking the early 90s or whatever. But man, they used to mic them rings up to all hell. Like, you heard every fucking bump they took. Like, they had them fucking mics on that ring on fucking 20. And when fucking Undertaker chokeslam Yokozuna, let's just say that. Matter of fact, that's every fucking bump sounded like. It's pretty like overwhelming. It's a lot to take in as a kid, because, like, you know, even when you see like the smaller guys wrestling, they take a bump and it shit was loud. So that's the takeaway I get from that. So I'm just gonna move away from that one. So the real first instance is, of course, everybody gonna talk about his Survivor Series debut. And I was about 4 when that shit happened. I didn't see it live. I think I seen it a few days later, because I think back then they used to re-air those pay-per-views, or at least a Survivor Series match. So when I seen this motherfucker walking down the aisle, I'm looking like, what the fuck? Like, he looked scary as hell. Like, Undertaker was scary as D-fuck. And he just ran through every fucking body, man. That motherfucker hit the tombstone on Coco Beware. Looked like Coco Beware's whole head about to fall off his shoulders. And I was sad, because, man, I was a Coco Beware guy. Yes, I was all with the shit. The blonde hair, the parrot, him coming out singing, burr, 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 yeah. All that shit. I was a Coco Beware guy, so I was sad about that shit. He just ran through the whole fucking squad. And that's just the first instance of it. Like, the Undertaker was very unique when he came out. Like, he no-sold everything. When you clothesline him over the top rope, he land on his feet. He'll pop up, do all type of shit. Like, and then he'll just hit you with a fucking flying flip clothesline. Like, I don't know, man. That shit was... You didn't appreciate it back then, but looking at his old shit now, you appreciate the fuck out of that. And another thing, like, memorable moment I want to talk about is early on, excuse me, in his career, like, when he'll have, like, matches against enhancement talent on WWF Superstars, one of the things that he would do after he won a match, and the real ones know what I'm about to say, he would put his opponent in a body bag. Like, this motherfucker would literally put a grown-ass man in a body bag, then proceed to tombstone him. You got to understand what seeing shit like that does to a child. I told you I'm 4 years old. The motherfucker already scary enough, and he gonna put motherfuckers in a body bag? I ain't know what the fuck a body bag was until I seen Undertaker do that shit. So I guess I learned something from his ass. But that shit was crazy. Crazy scary. And another scary moment from him, which I talked about this before, is when he put Ultimate Warrior in that fucking coffin. And man, you want to talk about somebody crying like a little bitch? That was me. Like I said, I was a kid, so I was allowed to. I have cried seeing that now. Like, you know, Ultimate Warrior was my guy. You know, before that DVD came out slandering his ass, I didn't know a fucking wrist lock from a wrist watch myself. So I ain't know what the Ultimate Warrior quote-unquote work rate was. Like, I ain't give a fuck about that shit. I kind of regret buying that DVD because it made me look at him different. But yes, back then I was an Ultimate Warrior guy. And he stuffed his ass in that coffin. Man. If you want to make me cry back in the day, all you had to do was do something to the Ultimate Warrior. So Undertaker made me cry. Papa Shango made me cry. Jake the Snake probably made me cry. All type of shit. Hulk Hogan, he didn't make me cry. But Undertaker did. And just so I don't end up crying like a little biatch again, I'm going to move away from that. So after all that happened, the Ultimate Warrior, all this, he won the championship from Hulk Hogan, then lost it back to Hulk Hogan a few days later. Then we have, like, sometime in the early 90s, like around late 91, early 92, you see the Undertaker starts transitioning into a babyface. Like, people are cheering this motherfucker. Like, he went against Jake the Snake at WrestleMania 8. Jake the Snake was the ultimate bad guy back then. Yeah, Undertaker tombstone him outside and, you know, won and all that stuff. So you see the Undertaker as a baby face. Still stands true to his character. But I don't know if anybody remember this, but drug PSAs was all the rage of the early 90s. And I don't know if I'm just tripping or if this shit really happened. Like, somebody looked this shit up on YouTube, but the Undertaker was in a drug PSA. And he was just standing there. He said, "There's no hope with dope." Like I said, I could be tripping. I don't know if that shit really happened, but I'm pretty sure that shit happened. So I'm gonna check on YouTube. But yes, Undertaker was definitely in a drug PSA in full gimmick doing that shit. So that shit made me not do dope. Well, at least not the dope y'all talking about. But yeah, but anyway, moving on. Like I said, he had his babyface period. So going on with his babyface period, that's when you were introduced, or we were all introduced to the casket match. Now, casket matches was probably around way before this one I've seen when I was a kid versus him and Kamala, but up until then, I didn't know the motherfuckers existed. So what was interesting about this is like one of them Survivor Series. Him and Kamala went against each other in a casket match. He made his own fucking casket, you know, like a wooden box that had Kamala's emblems and all that shit on there. And honestly, I don't know how long the match was. Like, this was like the first of what would be many of casket matches featuring The Undertaker. But all I remember is he rolled Kamala's ass in a casket, nailed it closed, and rolled that shit to the back. And that's what I seen, the pay-per-view I seen before I went seen him in person at the live event. So it's sinister as hell, and but hey, that was his thing. And my favorite casket match was him versus Yokozuna at Royal Rumble. I want to say, I don't know, 94, 93, 94, one of them motherfuckers. I'm going to say 94, because I remember we saw that shit live back when pay-per-views was coming on Saturdays. And, you know, he made the fucking deepest casket of all fucking time. Like, you could probably fit a whole fucking, that shit is about as big as one of them fucking lifeboats on Titanic. That's how fucking deep that damn casket was. And he made that shit for Yokozuna, because, you know, Yokozuna wasn't no small guy. Rest in peace, Yokozuna. So I know what ended up happening is, I just actually seen a clip from this the other day. Like, everybody and their mama came out and they just started whooping Undertaker ass. Like, everybody just had beef with the Undertaker. Like, they just wanted to get him the fuck up out of there. The fuck up out of that. Yes, I said that. And this back when fucking, you know, the urn, Paul Bearer had the urn. Yes, the urn had secret powers. And Yokozuna threw that bitch on the ground. That shit started having green smoke coming out. I get it's an optical illusion now. But back then, I'm looking like, oh, shit. The Undertaker done lost his motherfucking powers. And he just fainted. They rolled his limp ass in that casket and rolled him out. But here's the kicker. If anybody remember this, you know, the damn gong toll, thong, and then fucking you look on the screen, you see Undertaker, they show him in the casket, then he pop up to the gong looking scary as hell, and he start talking, saying the Undertaker will never rest in peace, and then you just see like, that's the fucking lightning, and the image start coming up out the screen, and then you just see like a fucking figure popping out from the screen. It's like the Undertaker was like ascending into the heavens or something. I don't know what the fuck was going on. Like, it's scary as hell. Looking back on it now, it's probably hokey, because it's like they probably had like what the hell was that? Like, clearly Undertaker was in the damn casket. I don't think he just came out from the top of the screen out of nowhere. That's probably like a wax figure or something. Maybe it's the fake Undertaker or something. You just never know. But that shit was pretty cool back then. Spooky as hell, but it was cool. And moving along, like, all these, I'm not even separating these. Like, these all kind of run together, because, you know, it's almost like storytelling, just like The Undertaker. So that's that. I will say this, though. The Undertaker is probably, like, one of the only motherfuckers I know to ever headline a pay-per-view against himself. Yes, SummerSlam 94, the battle of the two Undertakers. Apparently some shit went down, Undertaker, I don't know, like watching wrestling with me is kind of scarce around that time. And he was gone, and you had a fake Undertaker that I want to say, I could be wrong, but maybe Million Dollar Man had him or some shit. So we had two Undertakers. So at SummerSlam 94 at United Center in Chicago, I'm about to backtrack. SummerSlam 94 in Chicago was funny because fucking Macho Man's on commentary. That's it. yeah, the Undertaker versus Undertaker. And then came out the new Undertaker with the purple shit on. So old Undertaker had the gray, new Undertaker had the purple. That's all I remember from that shit. I remember what Undertaker started wearing fucking purple after a while, the color of royalty. So that's a moment that stuck out to me. And another one is following that same year was when Undertaker was feuding with Kama, who was, you know, known as the Godfather, you know, now, or that's just what he, that is his more popular character, if you will. So he was feuding with Kama, and Kama fucking stole the urn. Like, everybody wants to steal this motherfucking urn. Mr. Hughes wanted it. Everybody wants the fucking urn. And not only did Kama take the motherfucker, he made that bitch into a fucking gold rope chain. Man, that's probably one of the most gangster things you can do in life. That's some gangster ass shit. You take a man's urn that got all his superpowers in it and turn that bitch into a gold chain. Yeah, you can't write good shit. They just don't write good shit like that no more. Like, that shit was amazing. He'd come down and fucking wear that chain and hang it up and just whoop on the Undertaker ass. And I think Undertaker took the gold chain and got his powers back. No, he ain't wear the gold chain, but yes, gold chains give you power. That's why I wear so many gold chains now, just because of that. Like, it gives you power. So shout out to them. So I'm going to fast forward this a few years later. 3 years later, in 97, I talk about how The Undertaker was instrumental in these casket matches, but he was also instrumental in the fucking Hell in a Cell matches. Like, he was in the first Hell in a Cell match at WWF at the time against Shawn Michaels and fucking, it was in St. Louis. And that match right there, you know, is very unique. It's fucking innovative as fuck because you never seen this shit before. And if you look at the Hell in the Cell back then compared to today, it's a big fucking difference because, for one, that shit way fucking taller now because that shit was short as hell. Like, you could do a somersault off them hoes back in the day. But, yes, and under Shawn Michaels, he fell off the side of the cage. It wasn't off the top of the cage like Mankind is, but he fell off that. And that brought in Kane and started that whole ordeal. So yes, Undertaker was the man when it came to the Hell in the Cell matches. And if I'm going to talk about Hell in the Cell matches, I can't, like, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the fucking King of the Ring 98 Hell in the Cell match between him and Mankind. Man, people call that one of the greatest matches of all time. I call it one of the most brutal, scary ass matches of all time, because you ain't know what the fuck was going on with Mankind. The only thing great about that match, like, as far as like greatness, was Terry Funk getting chokeslammed out his shoes. But, you know, aesthetically, it was a fuck fest, really. But I get it. It was brutal as hell. Mankind took the sick bumps like we used to. Entertaining as fuck. Like, I'd be lying if I say I wasn't entertained by that shit when I was a kid. But looking at it now, I'm just glad that Mankind didn't fucking die, because that shit was ugly as fuck. But hey, it's history making. Like you can't talk about Hell in the Cell without talking about that match. So that match actually set the standard for Hell in the Cell matches. So it ain't been one like it. And thank God we'll probably never see one like it again. So it's going to move along from that. fast forward again, the next year, like, the Undertaker went through many changes. Like, he went from gray to purple to back to gray to wearing a vest or some shit with a teardrop, like he done caught some bodies or some shit. Undertaker done had a lot of shit, man, but my favorite incarnation of the Undertaker was the fucking the Ministry of Darkness Undertaker. Now, this one, Undertaker was all sinister, had the long ass goatee with the pointy tip on the end of it. And all this shit, he coming out, he got his emblem, he hanging motherfuckers on T's and shit, sacrificing them, kidnapping Stephanie McMahon. He's about to embalm Stone Cold. He over there speaking in tongues, doing all type of crazy shit. He done whooped Stone Cold ass and threw him in a grave. My next door neighbor, Cheryl, calling me, crying like, I ain't do that to Stone Cold. My bitch ass, I don't know. Yes, I was crying like a little bitch too. But yeah, Ministry of Darkness Undertaker was a motherfucker. And I seen this one when I went to Judgment Day 98. Also at the Rosemont Horizon. And Undertaker came out. It's the Ministry of Darkness one. And what stood out to me the most about that is this motherfucker, and Cal know what I'm about to talk about, and anybody that went to me with that show know what I'm about to talk about. This motherfucker had about 80 back-to-back-to-back-to-back fucking pyros. Like, this motherfucker. Man, we sat kind of above the entrance, so we heard that shit like, man, that motherfucker almost went deaf in that fucking Judgment Day main event, because all them fucking pyros, Kane about took me out. But that damn Undertaker, like, you was expecting Kane's pyro. You knew that it was coming. But Undertaker, you knew he was going to have that initial pyro, but I don't know, man. The motherfucker in the back must have fell asleep on a button or some shit, because that shit was going fucking crazy. And he said, Ministry of Darkness Undertaker. Like, he had a squad. He had the evil ministry. He had Midian, Viscera, all type of shit. Ministry of Darkness Undertaker was a motherfucker. And that was one of my favorite ones. His fucking entrance music was a banger. All that good shit. So I'm going to stop it right here. Take a quick little break before I continue, because like I said, you can't have a short episode on this one. So I'm going to take a quick break, you know, then continue this, my memories. You know, might take a break, might end the show. You might hear the woo-chicka break, or you might hear my outro. You just never know with me. So, you know, yeah. All right, I'm back. Y'all know I wouldn't leave y'all like that. Okay, I would. Just not today. So, you just got a break. I didn't end the show, but you did have to listen to my ad, because, hey, I'm going to get paid for this shit. Fuck y'all talking about. But, yeah, picking up where I left off, I was talking about the Ministry of Darkness Undertaker. So, that kind of segues into the next incarnation of The Undertaker. And y'all know exactly who the fuck I'm talking about. The American Badass Undertaker. Now, in Undertaker fashion, he disappeared off TV for a while. Then, at one of these fucking pay-per-views, might have been Judgment Day again. Who knows? Just Judgment Day was just always there. And Undertaker came back on a motorcycle in a long-ass leather coat, choke-slamming motherfuckers with one hand, doing all type of shit. He was humanized, and he had the fucking Kid Rock American Badass. They call me Cowboy. All that shit. Side note, do anybody listen to Kid Rock no more? Anymore? Like, do we? I mean, I was vibing with him with that Bob with the Boss shit, but then he started crossing over to that other shit. And yeah, the Kid Rock been tripping lately, but that's not the point. But, Undertaker's American Badass gimmick, probably one of the more popular gimmicks with Undertaker. And what was crazy about the Undertaker is, like, the American Badass gimmick. Like, even the American Badass, he had fucking, it's like, it's stages to the Undertaker. And it was actually stages to the American Badass gimmick. You had the long hair denim vest American Badass. Then you had the fucking Dead Man Ink black pants, long ponytail Undertaker. Then you had the short hair Undertaker. And what was crazy about that is, you know, the Undertaker spoke in his cadence like, you know, I'm going to rest in peace, all that shit. But this Undertaker was talking much shit. Like, he was so fucking humanized at this point. This motherfucker was from Houston, Texas. He wasn't even from Death Valley no more. But he was human, but he still had elements of the dead man Undertaker. And this kind of segues into this next moment. Like, you know, we already look at the Undertaker as a dead being, but this motherfucker was married to a woman named Sarah, who was stalked by DDP. DDP over there looking at Sarah fine ass in the jacuzzi or the swimming pool, all type of shit. Like, the motherfucking stalker voice was like, "Hey, Sarah, look at you. Let me see your butt cheek or something." And then kind of find out it's DDP. That shit broke my heart. Y'all know how much we love DDP and WCW. And he come to WWF on that type of weird ass shit. That shit was crazy. It wasn't as weird as The Undertaker being married and living in Houston, Texas and all that shit, but it was still weird. And the shit gets weirder because Undertaker, this motherfucker would have, what he do? He used to come out with his chewing tobacco. That's right, chewing tobacco. And the motherfucker spit that shit in a cup, dropped a huge tobacco nugget, and Tommy Dreamer, nasty ass, drunk that shit. And what I'm trying to figure out is, was that real dip juice that Tommy Dreamer drunk? Because if it was, like, I'll preface it with this. I tried chewing tobacco. I tried dip one time. Fucking with them white boys. Tried dip one time. And, you know, you got to keep spitting. That's why they keep the damn bottle, the disgusting shit around, because you got to spit. And I was spitting, and a little bit of that damn juice got in the back of my throat. I swallowed a little bit of that chewing tobacco shit, and my stomach was hurting like a motherfucker. Like, I ain't want to do shit the rest of the day. It's just that little bit. That little bit can make you sick. And so if that was real dip juice, I hope that motherfucker Tommy Dreamer had his stomach pumped right after, because I bet he was sick as a fucking dog. And now y'all realize all the weird shit I've done. I kind of tied that into this shit. But yes, the American Badass gimmick, that's my shit, man. He had all type of theme songs. He had the what's that damn Kid Rock song, They Call Me Cowboy. Then he had Limp Bizkit, Keep Rolling, Rolling, Rolling. Then he had my favorite one, that You're Gonna Pay, You're Gonna Pay. That shit is funny as hell. I love that song. This motherfucker riding motorcycles and shit, human as fuck. That's one of my favorite ones. And then, of course, when Undertaker lets something else go, he disappears for a long ass time. And when he disappeared this next time, the damn Kane done came back running roughshod. He done took his mask off. He burning people on fire, doing all type of sick ass shit, which led to the return of the fucking Dark Side Undertaker in 2004, WrestleMania 20. You know, his hair was short before. He tried to grow that shit out. It's a little long. You know, Undertaker, he had a little hang time, but, you know, it wasn't as long as before. But it's long enough to let you know that he was still an Undertaker. He came back, beat Kane. They kind of had a match again like they did at WrestleMania 14. My dumb ass thinking, I'm about 18 at this point, thinking, oh, you're going to come back and send Kane to hell again. I'm such a Marcus. It's not even funny no more. But yes, that's return of Dark Side Undertaker. He kept that going forward for the next fucking shit. That's 2004, so that's almost 16 years ago. Well, it was 16 years ago. But that shit crazy as hell. Like, he kept the same thing, kind of like when Shawn Michaels came back and had a long ass run afterwards. So with the return of the Dark Side, you know, he coming back, he doing these WrestleManias, going against Randy Orton, fucking Ric Flair, Batista, Vince McMahon, all that shit. And that's when you realize this motherfucker got a little streak going on with WrestleMania. And I never realized he was undefeated at WrestleMania until they started making that shit a thing. So the Undertaker streak became a thing. So the streak became, to me, bigger than WrestleMania. Like, you want to see if the Undertaker win or not. Like, you don't care how he win or whatever. If that motherfucker win, we can keep the show going. And, of course, all good things come to an end, but I ain't gonna talk about that yet because he had some good ass matches during that run, like, you know, the matches he had with fucking Edge at 24, then them fucking stellar ass fucking Broadways he had with Shawn Michaels at 25-26, and even the match he had with Triple H at 27-28 was good as hell, and CM Punk 29. Then at 30, that shit just fucking, yeah, y'all know exactly what I'm getting at. That shit was over with. Ove. Finito. Done. Fucking Brock Lesnar. Beat him. Pinned him. 1, 2, 3. Middle of the fucking ring. And man, if I was there, like, you just I'm watching this shit on TV because, you know, this when the network came out, that's the first pay-per-view you got was WrestleMania 30. And, like, the fucking air just completely sucked out of that fucking building. Like, it was like, you know, when you get so used to seeing somebody winning all the time and it could have been some close calls, you know, we got comfortable with knowing that, you know, he was probably going to win anyway. So, when he lost and that motherfucker in the front row, his face told it all. Y'all know who I'm talking about. That shit was sad. Like, I just felt like my childhood just died in that moment. Like, it was crazy. And I'm getting emotional thinking about it now. Like, that shit, I don't know, man. I just really wish they would have kept that streak alive. Like, it was no reason. Maybe it was, but to me, it wasn't really a reason to end that shit just then. And he would lose again at Roman Reigns 2 years later. And oh, man. That shit's crazy. And when he lost to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 30, shit, what was that? I think 33, because he had that Hell in a Cell match with Shane at 32, when Shane almost fucking died coming off that cell. So he lost to Roman Reigns at 33, and we thought for sure that was going to be the end. He done put his jacket and hat and gloves in the middle of the ring, and they kept in the middle of the ring all the way till they broke the ring down, and it was still there. And you thought it was over with then. And then the next year later at WrestleMania 34, which is one of my favorites because that was the first WrestleMania I've ever been to, Kyle and Mario was there too. Shout out to them. But yeah, WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans, or New Orleans, when fucking he was ducking Cena the whole time. Like, we ain't seen Undertaker on TV in a minute. And the next time we seen him was when he came out and squashed John Cena at WrestleMania 34. But I ain't gonna lie, just being in there and just hearing that reaction, how motherfuckers got all loud as hell when Elias, well, we thought the lights went out, then it was Elias' ass, and we was mad. And then that damn, the gong went off or whatever, and everybody just lose their fucking mind. The lights went out, then it came back on, and you see his jacket and hat and all that shit in the middle of the ring again. Even though if you was there, you could clearly see the fucking stagehand going under the ring, getting that shit and putting it in the middle of the ring. But, you know, dang, he couldn't see that on TV, but that's beside the point. Like, the moment was still there. Like, when the light came on and they showed that shit, everybody was like, oh, like we didn't see what happened anyway. But I guess it's because I was sitting on that side of the ring. But that's not the point. It was amazing. That was my first time seeing the Undertaker entrance in a long-ass time. And just that slow-ass walk. You know, the entrance be longer than the matches. And just hearing everybody go fucking crazy. Like, motherfuckers at the damn, they was in the fucking, like, concession line. And they heard that damn goal. But you just see motherfuckers just come back in, just flooding. Like, they wanted to see this shit. And I'm so glad I got to see that shit. So, shout out to that moment. Shout out to the stagehand putting the jacket in the ring. But, yeah. But after that, you know, Undertaker, he ain't have a WrestleMania 35 match. And the WrestleMania 36, you know, the fucking the empty arena, Resolution, WrestleMania, whatever the fuck it was, he had a Boneyard match with AJ Styles. And you kind of see the American Badass Undertaker coming back. And it was a cinematic type match. But it was entertaining as D-fuck. And, you know, at the end, he throws up his fist. The emblem comes, he rides off into the night. And I'm thinking that was the last time we're going to see The Undertaker wrestle. So If that was the last time we seen Undertaker wrestle or have a match or whatever, I would be okay with that. Cause you know, he done had some fucking some clusters before. Like, we ain't even gonna talk about that shit with Goldberg and that shit with him and Kane versus bald headed Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Like, we ain't gonna talk about that Saudi Arabia shit. Like, that shit, Ove, that shit was ugly as hell. But if this is truly the last time I see Undertaker, like, I'm cool with it. I'm okay with it. Because, no, it was a way for him to do it how he want to, cinematic style, right off in the sunset. Because if he go out there, have a match with somebody, and he don't like it, it's a bum rush clusterfuck or some shit like that, then, you know, he's going to want to have another one. You don't want to see your favorite wrestler get hurt, you know what I mean? Like, that's the whole point of the Last Ride documentary. Like, we're actually seeing Mark Calloway as opposed to just the Undertaker. And I ain't going to lie, it's weird the first seeing him, you know, talking in his regular voice, because, you know, his regular voice is noticeably higher than his character voice. So I'm over here thinking, you know, Undertaker about to have these interviews like, when I first made my debut in 1990, everyone wanted to rest in these nuts. No, just shit like that. Like, that's what I wanted to hear. But instead, I get like, well, you know, I had a match with Bruiser Brody, and, you know, he clotheslined me. And I that ain't how he sound for real, but me, like, I'm close. But yeah, so yeah, that was truly his last match. I'm okay with that, man. And shout out to the memories, man. I don't even know if this could be like a, I'm going to have to do a part two eventually, because it's so much more shit. Like, even the shit that we tend to forget about. But hey, Undertaker, man, that's just one of those characters that you can't never let die. I'm going to let the fact that I seen that Blue Lives Matter shirt that you was wearing die. But, you know, I'm going to get over that shit too. But I'm just going to end it there, man, because I'm over here tripping, so. Thank y'all for listening, man. I hope y'all enjoyed me taking y'all through memory lane. So much more memories, man. I'm going to have to do a thank you taker part two or some shit. But that's what I'm going to give y'all right now. If y'all took this trip with me, if y'all were there for the majority of this shit, then, hey, we won the lucky ones, man. Gen Z would never know what the fuck going on with The Undertaker. So that's all I'm going to give y'all, man. Thank y'all for listening. It's good to be back doing my thing the way y'all always do it, having fun in the midst of all the shit going on right now. And listen to me on Apple. Subscribe to my shit. Rate my shit. 5 stars if you fuck with me. 1 star if you don't. I got all type of good shit on there, man. Just listen to all the damn episodes, man. Listen to me on Spotify, all that good shit. Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, anywhere you can hear a fucking podcast. I'm on all that shit, man. Of course, I got to say Anchor, because Anchor is the podcast that pays me. So I got to throw them in there. And follow me on Twitter. I ain't been on that bitch in a minute, but yes, SmartHenry85, World's Strongest Smart. I'm gonna stop telling y'all motherfuckers to challenge me, because y'all scared, man. Y'all be ducking me. Y'all don't want to get into it with me on no Twitter. Fuck that. Y'all just don't want these problems. Y'all don't want it with Hov, you know. So, but follow me on there anyway, and check me out on, I'm on Victory Championship Wrestling now. Your boy is all into the industry now. They fucked around and threw me in a match. Now I gotta slap Johnny Slaughter, bitch ass up one time for the one time. So me and Smooth, you know, we gonna go ahead and put the work on Team Redeem. We just gonna make it do what it do. So y'all check me out on VCWAction.com or YouTube, all that cool shit. So I'm not Stacks of Homies on there, but you'll see me. So that's all I'm gonna give y'all. Thank you, Taker. I'm out this bitch. And wrestling community, do better.